When the matchmaker came to my grandfather to try to make a match between my father and mother. Well, they talked and they talked, but they didn't agree until someone produced a bottle of whiskey. Then they drank and they sang and they danced and they reeled. And in the morning when they woke up, the tear was sealed. The wedding, the couple was shy. But fortunately, there was an open bar with plenty of whiskey. That's the reason for my insistence that whiskey is responsible for my very existence. 'Cause they drank and they danced and they suddenly knew what a young couple is supposed to do. In the beginning, at my circumcision, everybody drank like Russians. So in the end, when they put me in the land, I want you to bury me with a bottle of whiskey in my hand. 'Cause when it's time to get judged on the judgment day, I know I'm gonna need a whiskey right away.
Welcome to the new Yiddish Rep Radio Hour. That was Jeff Berner from his album Klezmer Mongrels. Take a look at it on iTunes. There's plenty of good stuff on that album, including what you just heard. And I'm actually sitting here munching on some matches herring and drinking some whiskey. So I'd invite you all to join me if you happen to have some Bonfen handy. Have a drink on me. This evening's program, we're going to talk about quite a few things. You know, as artistic director of New Yiddish Rep, my mood constantly fluctuates from extreme depression to elated, energetic mania. And it's been swinging back and forth quite a bit lately. There are some good things happening, some nice things to announce, and some future projects that I'd like to talk about. But first I'd like to come back to something I talked about last week, and that is the continuing controversy about Park 51, the Islamic Cultural Center that is being planned for the Ground Zero neighborhood. There was another demonstration, indeed, this week on Thursday. I went down there. Actually, I went down there on Wednesday in front of the Simon Wiesenthal Museum of Tolerance, it's called, on 42nd Street. I went down there on Wednesday, and nobody showed. But I did try to speak to somebody at the Wiesenthal Museum of Tolerance, and I was told that the director wasn't there, and she would be there the following day. When I got home, I got an email that the demonstration had been postponed till the following day. I went down there and I spoke to some folks, and hopefully Daniel Lang Levitsky, who was one of the demonstrators and belongs to Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, one of the four groups in a coalition doing the protest, hopefully we'll speak to him on a program in the future and about his views on this. I tried to speak to the director, but lo and behold, nobody was there either. They're all hiding in the building. I think they regret ever coming out with this statement because they are planning to build a center in Jerusalem on what turns out to be the site of a Muslim cemetery, which they claim is now a parking lot. It's been a parking lot for 60 years and so on and so forth. And the Israeli Supreme Court, after 4 years, has decided that they can go ahead and build it. It's however unfortunate that they would put themselves in a position of being scrutinized, and they said that this Park 51 thing is insensitive. Now, how do you go ahead and say that when you're putting yourself in a position of being scrutinized for being insensitive in your own right to the to the Muslim community in Jerusalem? It's hard to understand sometimes. I'd just like to say that the Simon Wiesenthal Center, although it is named with Simon Wiesenthal's name, has nothing to do with Simon Wiesenthal Center in Vienna. And I have a strong feeling that he would not be pleased at his name being used well, let me say no more. We'll go into it at another time. But they are hiding back there. They refuse to comment. Naturally, the protesters are more than happy to be vocal about it. My problem with the protest is that it focuses on Islamophobia. And to me, this is a First Amendment issue. It really doesn't have to do with phobias of any kind. I just wish they would focus on that and focus on the insensitivity that the Wiesenthal Center is showing, rather than making this taking in this whole Islamophobia business. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they're correct, but in saying that it does foster Islamophobia. But I would be more comfortable if the issue were looked upon simply as a First Amendment issue. And in that respect, I agree with them wholeheartedly. It's nobody's business, you know, but it's nobody, your opinion, you can have all the opinions in the world. The First Amendment is a very simple three-sentence statement. There's nothing in it about sensitivity, and they have the right to build wherever wherever they can legally build. So, having said that, we'll move on. I'd like to talk about some of the programming that the New Yiddish Rep is working on. One of the things that we are going to have on the Radio Hour, I believe it's November 21st, is we're going to talk to a theater company, which is a Shomer Shabbos theater company. And they are embarked on it's called 24/6, as opposed, of course, to 24/7, a Jewish theater company. And they are working on a project called The Splendor of Space, Sabbath Variations. And this is going to be an evening of 6 10-minute theatrical variations on the Talmudic story of Shimon Bar Yochai's cave as recounted and interpreted by Abraham Joshua Heschel in his book, The Sabbath, Its Meaning for Modern Man. And here's some of the things that they plan to have here. The variations will include a director's takes through the lens of contemporary Japan, specifically the experience of the Japanese salaryman in popular culture, a playwright's homage to Samuel Beckett, devising an ensemble exploration, cave fever, tick-borne relapsing fever, a phenomena in which Israeli spiritual seekers who have secluded themselves in caves are exposed to geological neurotoxins, a puppeteer's creation of cave and carob tree as characters, a choreographer-driven theatrical essay focusing on Heschel's commentary over the story's narrative, an actor-driven performance piece exploring the text's relevance to the environmental sustainability movement. Now, if that doesn't pique your interest, I don't know what will. I find it fascinating, and hopefully New Yiddish Rep will have something to do with presenting this, but we are certainly going to talk to these young people on November 21st on the radio show, and I'm really looking forward to it. Another thing that is a very interesting project that's being worked on right now, Jugendtreff, Youth for Yiddish, is planning to do a Yiddish farm. And they are currently in the planning stages with this. I am very honored to have been asked to help in the planning for an introductory event that they will be doing in November to talk about this. I'm very excited about it. You know, there's a history of this kind of thing in the States over the Jewish immigration from Europe, which I won't go into right now, but I hope to have them on the show and talk about their plans once they're a little more solidified, and it's a terribly exciting thing. One of the things I also like about it is that the Jugendtreff is a mix ideologically of people. There are Orthodox people, there are secular people, there are they all share, of course, a love for Yiddish, and all of their activities are entirely in Yiddish, and they will be having on November 7th a Yiddish tug at the Stanton Street Synagogue. It's an all-day affair, and it will feature art and crafts and music and theater. Shane Baker and I will be presenting theater. I will be doing a wonderful little piece called Olam Haba by I.L. Peretz, joined by my wife and the director of Yossel Rockover, Amy Coleman. It's a lovely little piece, and I look forward to doing it. If you can make it, you know, Google Stanton Street Synagogue, Google Jugendtreff, you'll find the information you need to find. That's November 7th. It's a Sunday, actually 2 weeks from today. And hopefully I will be broadcasting from Stanton Street on that day. So it should be interesting. Let's see, what else? Oh, I'm happy to announce that I will be going overseas, and I'll be doing Yossel Rockover Speaks to God in Italy and in Israel. I will be able to announce exactly what the dates will be on the next show, but I'll be in Italy from the end of November to the beginning of December, and in Israel Hanukkah time, and I am really looking forward to it. The shows in Italy, I'll be doing several shows in English and only one in Yiddish. It's the first time I've done the show in English, so that should be interesting. And in Israel, I will be joined by a very well-known and well-loved Israeli performer of Yiddish song and comedy, Yankiv Shapiro. And I'm really looking forward to that. That, of course, will be in Yiddish. So, I'm going to play another little ditty for you here. And I am, we're going to talk about the future of Yiddish theater. And, you know, we're concerned, very concerned about the status of Yiddish theater and its future in this country. And this tune is, it's dedicated to some of my colleagues in the Yiddish theater, and here it goes.
I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. In a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I don't know how I'm gonna get out. Well, they told me I could dig to the top. They told me I could dig to the top. Thought I could dig to the top. Started digging, never stopped. Now I don't know how I'm gonna get out. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. In a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I don't know how I'm gonna get out. Well, they told me I was gonna be a pilot. So I thought I was gonna be a pilot. Well, now I pilot over here and I pilot over there. And I don't know how I'm gonna get out. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. In a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I don't know how I'm gonna get out, but I try. When I get there, I pay you every single nickel I owe. But I got this silver full manpower, and they charge me by the hour, and I don't know how I'm gonna get out. I'm in a hole, and I'm digging it deeper. In a hole, and I'm digging it deeper. I'm in a hole, and I'm digging it deeper. I don't know how I'm gonna get out. Well, I sing this song while I dig, and I dig this song while I sing. I sing and dig, dig and sing, dig and sing, sing and dig, and I don't know how I'm gonna get out. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. In a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I don't know how I'm gonna get out. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. In a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I'm in a hole and I'm digging it deeper. I don't know how I'm gonna get out.
So there you have it. That was Ron Sunshine. Ron Sunshine, a harmonica player and singer, and that was a song written by Jono Manson. Those were different days in a different time. The days when Dan Lynch was the blues dive to play at in New York, and Nightingales brought out bands like Blues Traveler. They seem like better days, I don't know. But we're talking about Yiddish theater, and we're in a hole. And let's not try to dig any deeper than where we are at right now. If you've got any comments or would like to ask any questions or make any comments, you can call in by calling 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. 9756, and I would welcome anything anyone has to say, and you don't need to agree with me either. Why is Yiddish theater in a hole? Well, it seems to me there are a lot of reasons. I think the first and foremost reason is that none of seem to be able to get along. And it's kind of a situation where everyone likes to complain about everyone else, but when it comes to actually doing something, the opportunity to work together and to foster a new approach to Yiddish theater in New York, nobody can seem to sit together for 2 minutes without getting mad at each other. That's one of the problems. The other problem is we need to refocus the way we approach Yiddish theater here. I wrote up a proposal at the request of the Volksbühne Yiddish Theater, because you know there was a big to-do about some comments made by the artistic director about New Yiddish Rep, some very uncomplimentary comments, and you know it led to a meeting between myself and some colleagues and the aforementioned fellow and one of the board members, and they asked me for a proposal. And I wrote a proposal. I sent it to them. I never heard back from them. When I made the inquiry, an inquiry as to, hey, guys, what's going on? I got a short response, boo-hoo, we're broke. We're barely solvent and nothing we can do, I guess. I'd like to just go over with you some of the points of this proposal that I made. So I think the first thing, and I think everyone agrees that this is necessary, it's just a question of how do you do it, is that we need to bring a contemporary demographic to a new awareness of Yiddish culture and an appreciation of Yiddish theater. The second thing we need to do, and this is something that is crucial and vital, is educate a new generation of Yiddish actors. Now, unless we can do both these things, Yiddish theater in the United States will, in the coming generations, fade away, and what we'll be left with will be saccharine banalities that people will believe that that's our Yiddish theater tradition. And that would be a tragedy. When we have such great, great playwrights and great material, we have, when's the last time the Dybbuk was done in New York? The Volksbühne did a reading, to their credit, did a reading of it. But I don't think, I would love to do a interactive production of the Dybbuk. And I had hoped at one point to do it at the Sixth Street Community Synagogue. It would be Givaldic, have the wedding feast, have the audience move from the wedding feast to the sanctuary upstairs for the exorcism, really involve people in the drama of the show. It would be a marvelous thing. No, maybe someday. Maybe someday. We have people like Anski, people like Levick, people like Gordon and Pinsky. Again, to the Volksbühne's credit, they did a reading of a very interesting piece by Bimko called Ganavim. But somehow it never makes it to the main stage. And I urge them and I beg them to take these things and put them up. Now, when you spend the kind of money that they spend and only manage to do 5 weeks of theater a season, you're very limited in your choices. And my suggestion to them was to retrench, build themselves a 99-seat, a state-of-the-art black box, and use the money to do 32 weeks of theater a year so that a variety of things can be presented to the public. And forget about spending money on elaborate production values. Do the work on a stage. Get the people by being in their faces and showing them what theater is. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack from people, if anybody's listening. Of course, this is the radio show that nobody listens to, so I don't really expect to hear about it. But so, you know, you got to have some balls. You got to show some moxie. I urge them to do so. Now, how do you do this? Well, we don't really know how to attract a new demographic because we haven't experimented enough. One of the things we have to do is create a center that will be a center for ideological focus. And in order to do that, we have to go beyond Yiddish theater. You know, young people today are very curious. Of course, we live in a world that is global now in communications. They're interested in a lot of things. Now, when I was at the Workman Circle and the theater was in residence there, I opened some studios on some of the empty floors, and once the things that we offered ranged from flamenco, capoeira, Afro-Brazilian dance, samurai sword, as not kendo, but a different form, yoga, voice acting, modern dance, group vocal coaching, belly dancing. Now, what does this have to do with Yiddish? All right, that's a fair question. Well, you know, the Zionists, when they began to recruit the youth of Eastern Europe and Europe, they did a lot of that recruiting through sports clubs. Why? Because people like to play sports. People like to have activities like that, and it brings people together, and it provides a forum for recruitment, shall we say, for you know, for lack of a better word. That's why I think it's important that if we build a center for Yiddish theater and Yiddish culture, we have to offer people something that will bring them down, that they may not necessarily be interested in Yiddish per se. It might not be the first thing on their mind, but if they're interested in capoeira, we can get them to a capoeira class and expose them to material, expose them to the Yiddish, offer them Yiddish classes, promote the shows that we're doing, it just may work. And it certainly didn't hurt the Zionist movement to have soccer clubs and sports clubs all over Europe. I think, you know, in some ways we can take a page out of their book. Another thing that we can do to, ironically, the Zionists, at the same time that they turned their backs on Yiddish and actually tried to bury it altogether as a shameful language of oppression, they came up with a way to teach Hebrew called Ulpan, which really was quite effective. And we should take a page out of their book right there and create a Yiddish Ulpan and offer it to people. A six-month intensive course in Yiddish will enable one after 6 months. And, you know, people came from Europe who never spoke a word of Hebrew. They came to Israel. They were enrolled in these courses. And after 6 months, they all of a sudden, they were speaking Hebrew. Now, there was the added thing that they were also exposed to the language constantly. The newspapers were in Hebrew. The radio station was in Hebrew. The army, I mean, it was Hebrew. We also need to do that. We need to give people the opportunity, once they learn, to practice and speak. And that can be done by offering a daily Yiddish shrinkle, a Yiddish corner, where people can come and be encouraged to speak and speak Yiddish. And it doesn't matter if you know five words or four words. The main thing is to try, to break down the embarrassment of, well, I really don't speak that well. I don't really speak that well. Yiddish that well, but I try. And that's the important, that's something very, very important. So we need to do that. We need to have a Yiddish theater workshop that is ongoing and permanent. And I'm happy to say that they are at least trying. Rafi Goldwasser will be doing Yilgulfin Anigin in a couple of weeks at the Volksbühne. And they are trying to organize a Yiddish theater workshop with Rafi. I don't know how much success they'll have. We did this, I did this with Moshe Yasur about 2 years ago. But, you know, you need to have the funding, you need to have the backing, you need to have the space. And as part of this 99-seat theater and Yiddish center, this is one of the things that should be ongoing, a training ground for young actors for Yiddish theater. And I think that the most effective way of spreading this would also be to offer it on the internet, either live or archived. Now, a lot of this already is on the internet. There are a lot of good things on the internet that you can access to help yourself learn Yiddish. And hopefully over the coming weeks, we will make you more aware of what those things are. The other thing that I think I've tried to do to some extent is to offer theater. If we can offer theater over 32 weeks of the year, then we should offer theater in English as well as in Yiddish, in Yinglish, in Russian, and in Hebrew. Why? Because, well, maybe we can get people down to a play in Hebrew that ordinarily would not come to a play in Yiddish. But if we can give them a wonderful theatrical experience when they come down to that play, there's a good chance that some of them will come back for other performances in Yiddish. Now, I don't know if this will work, because despite, being told, I'd like to read something that Wikipedia has on Yiddish theater. Although its glory days have passed, Yiddish theater companies still perform in various Jewish communities. The Volksbühne, People's Theater Company in New York City, is still active 90 years after it was founded. New Yiddish Rep, founded in New York City in 2007, has been very successful at producing Yiddish shows for a younger audience than the senior citizen-oriented Volksbühne. There are a lot of things about that statement that aren't fair. First of all, we are not that successful. If I would gauge success after 3 years at being really able to do five or six different plays a season over weeks rather than a couple of weekends here and a couple of weekends there. I'm gratified that somebody chose to characterize it that way, but it's really not true. We have not been that successful, but we're going to keep trying. And this is part of the plan. This is part of the strategy. We've got to attract people to the space itself. What space? Well, you know, a space I'm talking about, and it would not take $1.5 million a year to run it and establish it. So that's something right there. We also have done over time concerts, art shows, installations. We've done a great deal. When I was at the Workman's Circle, we did an installation, a video installation. We did an art show. We did a whole range of activities. And we need to keep doing them, and we need a place to be able to do them. And it doesn't seem to me that it should be that difficult, especially when there's money sitting in a fund, earmarked specifically for building a permanent home for Yiddish theater, and it's been sitting there for years. I don't see what the problem is. What's happening, guys? Why is it taking so long? What's the problem? You wanted a proposal? I gave you a proposal. Let me hear from you. I think also it would be nice to have a worldwide competition for original Yiddish plays with an honorarium and a showcase production at a theater, at the theater. Let's call it the theater. I think it would be simple enough to curate an ongoing Yiddish film series with guest speakers, and I don't see why that is what prevents that from happening. And basically, we need to find a road to a wider, younger audience, and anything short of a total effort of this sort. Will fail to make an impact. And I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see cooperation rather than competition. I'd love to see a mutual respect rather than jockeying for power and jealous fear of new ideas. I don't know. Perhaps I'm dreaming. Perhaps this is something that will never happen. But, you know, I'll keep dreaming. I'll keep trying. One of the things I'd like you to, by the way, nobody's calling, I see. I guess nobody's listening either. But if you care to call, like, once again, the number is 888-815-9756. It's Kostgunish, it's toll free, and feel free. Like I say, you can say anything on this show. There's no censorship. There's no nobody's going to restrain you. So whether you agree with me or want to hit me over the head, call up, say something. Gemma Anetsa. This is what I'm saying. Gemma Anetsa. So now in I'm going to play another little tune. And once again, this is, you know, this is a tune that I dedicate to hopefully refocusing our approach to how to keep Yiddish theater alive and well, and mine the wonderful wealth of material that is there, so that people don't come to think that Fiddler on the Roof and my Bubby's Lachsenkugel is what Yiddish theater is about. And so if I put on my glasses so I can see what I'm going to play here, and then by all means, have a drink. Why not? This is a little tune by Warren Zevon.
I said, I'm feeling kind of rough. Let me break it to you, son. Your shit's fucked up. I said, my shit's fucked up. Well, I don't see how. He said, the shit that used to work won't work now. Shucks, oh well. Now it's all fucked up. Shot to hell. Yeah, yeah, my shit's fucked up. It has to happen to the best of us. The rich folks suffer like the rest of us. It'll happen to you. Every day, and you start to cry. You wanna die, but you just can't quit. Let me break it on down. It's the fucked up shit. Yeah, my shit's fucked up.
So let's get it together. I would like to call upon everyone who cares about Yiddish theater and the future of Yiddish theater and Yiddish culture. Let's get it together. Let's work together. Let's start making some sense about what we're doing. And hopefully we will find a way to prevail, to dig our way out of the hole rather than dig ourselves deeper into it. I'd just like to announce that Michael Winograd, the klezmer musician and composer, is curating a series out in Brooklyn at Temple Beth Am. And I guess if you go to his Facebook page, you'll be able to see what's coming up there. I want to talk a little bit about our Merchant of Venice venture. We're working on it. I've almost got the script together for it. We are going to do a staged reading of the Merchant of Venice as cut by Jacob Adler, and as much as I can by doing research, as played by Jacob Adler, not to compare myself by any means to the great eagle of the Yiddish stage. And it's by no means a foregone conclusion that I will be reading Shylock in that, although I'd like to. And since I'm artistic director, there's a good chance that I will. It's a very interesting phenomenon, and we hope Shakespeare on the Yiddish stage, and we hope to have some guest speakers. Joel Berkowitz of the State University in Albany wrote a book on Shakespeare, and in his words, verteicht and verbesset, Shakespeare on the Yiddish stage, translated and improved. Shakespeare on the Yiddish stage, and we're going to use, although we are going to use Adler's cuts, we're going to use a gorgeous translation by Yosef Bufschur, who I've mentioned before. Really a wonderful poet, and he did the old bard solid with this translation. And wherever we can, which is most of it, we will use his translation. There are some transitions where we'll have to use other material from other translations, but for the most part, it will be the gorgeous poetry of Yosef Bufschur. And that will be done at a venue to be announced very shortly. Hopefully by the next show, I'll be able to tell you about that. And I'm kind of excited about it. It's, you know, of course, we're trying to spin off Al Pacino's and the Public Theater's Broadway production. Of course, I missed it in the park, and I simply can't afford to buy a ticket for it. I wish I would have seen it, but perhaps another time. So we're going to be doing that. We're also going to be doing an I.L. Peretz piece, an evening with I.L. Peretz. Shane Baker and I will be doing that, and I'm excited about that. It's time that Peretz got the recognition that he deserves as the mentor to a generation of great Yiddish literary figures, and I'm looking forward to that as well. And hopefully at some point we'll be bringing back Shane in the big bupkis, the complete Gentile's view of Yiddish vaudeville, which was very successful for us, and hopefully we'll be able to reprise it with a couple of shows. We're close to having a new home, I think, and hopefully I'll be able to announce that very shortly too, and I'm very excited about it. And something I'd like to, before time runs out here, it's amazing how much you can say without really thinking that you're saying anything, and time is, just flies by and just run off at the mouth, and well, why not, with matches herring and good whiskey, favos mish. One of the things that one of the challenges I would like to put out there is I think it would be a great thing and a marvelous thing to found an international Yiddish theater company based here in New York. I think, of course, that would be my first choice, but I'm certainly open to suggestions that would bring together companies like Yiddish Spiel, the Dora Wasserman Yiddish Theater, New Yiddish Rep, the Ida Kaminska Troupa in Poland, even the Romanian company, which is sorely in need of an infusion of Yiddish soul. You know, maybe we can make an international effort to really bring Yiddish theater back to the place in world theater where it belongs. I know that Yiddish Spiel, Shmuel Katzman's theater company, is doing wonderful work. Mendy Kahan in Israel is doing wonderful work. There's another instance of, you know, there's Mendy, there's Shmuel Katzman, there's Yankov Shapiro, there are all these people, and they can't work together. They can't. Why? It makes me afraid. That's what we need to do. We need to work together to make this happen. I'm terribly afraid that it won't, you know, we will not be able to do this. I can always hope and I can keep pushing, and that is my appeal. Stop protecting your own turf, guys and girls. Stop acting as though you are fighting over a badly torn up carcass, and protecting your piece of it is the only way that you will survive and retire and collect your pension. And that's the problem with the Yiddishist organizations that, across the board. I believe that most of them have given up and feel that, well, what we can do now is protect our jobs, protect our position, make sure we can retire and collect our pensions and be comfortable. It's a sad thing to see. It's a sad thing to see. We're losing our soul, folks. We're losing the soul that made our people unique, that gave us a leg up on the terrible shit that's going on in the world. The idea that you can be a people without a political entity, a geopolitical entity. You can be a people based on a spiritual longing for tzedek, for menschlichkeit. And Yiddish was a part of that. Yiddish was an, I hope, will remain an integral part of that. And if we lose that, we are going to lose our souls. So I don't want to become too passionate. Maybe I should pour myself another drink. And at this point, I think it's time to lighten things up with some more music. And this is a little something from. I guess you wouldn't say it's very light, but let's bring Eartha on. Here's Eartha Kitt. Thank you.
I'm afraid I don't have very much voice, but I will make an attempt.
Isn't she beautiful?
Romania. Dat wein eines Erfordernigen, wo das Herzglitz kannst du kriegen, am Mammelegele, ab Hastramele, a Kacharnatzele. On a glaze of
In Romania, echt a git, funken deiges weiß mir nicht. Wein trinken überall, mir verwischt mit Kastewall. Ei, gewaltig vermischige, liebender Prinzer Mammelige, tanzen freisig dichter Stelle, dann die echte Patlauschella. Is the Romanische Wein? That is nicht Romanisch Wein. That is the Champagne Wein. Or is that the expensive kind? Is that Mogendovit Wein? That is Mogendovit Wein. If that's Mogendovit Wein, that is nicht the expensive kind.
There's something that I wanted to mention. We're kind of running out of time. One of the things that I think we need to do, if we're going to be able to get young actors into Yiddish, and this was part of the proposal that I sent off, and it's very important, is to work on transliterations of the classic Yiddish plays. Transliterations and audio readings of the transliterations. If I had the funds, I'd have somebody working on that full time. Because it's vital to being able to do the kind of work that I would hope we will someday be able to do. So we're almost running out of time, and I don't want to leave for you without playing something by Psy Kirilenko. So I am going to close this out with... Thanks for listening. Listen again in 2 weeks. Or don't listen again in 2 weeks. And it's been nice to be here.
Als Jesus hat a großen Krisis gehabt am Mol in Jerusalem. Ich hab gesehen, wie Pontius Pilat hat gemacht die Natiles Jedaim. Sehr eingenehm, wisst ihr, wer ich bin? Wir waren vorn zusammen, aber sag ich nicht wohin.
А вы не бойтесь, дяденьки, тетеньки, у меня хороший вкус. Я обижаю только плохих, хороших я сам пою. Зовут меня Завуткою, рисуют с рогами и хвостом. Обычно я появляюсь на святки, а иногда великим постом. У меня такой пушистый хвост, буду отрываться в полный рост.
Сейчас перелутим Петроград, поебленных до Гевейн. Ich hab nicht like in den Teig gemacht, Anastasia wollte rein. Und der Tag ist gewohnt wie die Nacht, dass der Blitzkrieg hat die Welt getrennt. Mit der Panzer hab ich Kurven gemacht, dass der Hobby von mir war, was gebrennt. Sehr engen, wisst ihr, wer ich bin?
L'chaim Yidin, l'chaim. Sichas Toivin.
Которую очень любил. Это я был в мастере и Маргарите с мимозою на груди. Обо мне вы плохо не говорите, я просто вот из рук погоди. У меня такой пушистый хвост, а буду отрываться полный раз.
Ich hab gelacht in der größer Schlacht von dem Kaisersgott, was hat euch getracht. Ich hab gefragt, wer hat's gemacht, dass wir haben die zwei Turnsachen abgebracht. Ich muss mir sicher vorstellen, ich hab ihn eraffiniert, der Mann. Und ich hab geherrscht die ganze Welt, von Wolf bis Pakistan.
У меня такой пушистый хвост, будем открываться в полной власти.
Are you listening, Mick? Nobody's ever covered this like this, huh, Mick?
As the alle Polizien seien in Ganevin
und alle Rescheuen Rabaden
und als Tag ist Nacht ruft man mich Teufel an, weil die Menschen, sie suchen die Swannen und wenn ihr trefft mich, seid Mensch.
Und hat schon ein bisschen Geschmack
und jetzt schon mir ein bisschen Sympathie. Oder will ich euer Nefisch fahren?
Und mir hat ein voll prekrasen Quast und ich mach Trivatsa von mir raus.
Sei rein mit dir, du wirst mir rein mit mir.
Ja, sag mir vorhin. Everybody sing.